Who's to blame? I don't know if you know this or not, but you're the reason he died. I know that a lot of people have tried to place blame. When the movie The Passion of the Christ came out, everybody was angry. The Jewish people were angry because there was a passage in Scripture that they put in the movie. And the passage is the Jews declaring that the blood of Jesus would be upon the hands of the Jews and upon their generations to come. And the Jewish people were angry that that passage was placed in the movie. And so they felt like they were putting the blame on the Jewish people. But they're not to blame. I'm to blame. You're to blame. No man put Jesus on the cross. No man pierced his hands. He laid down his life for me. Nobody forced him there. It wasn't a game. It wasn't something Jesus was just playing. He came to die. That was his purpose. Every step he took on earth was towards Calvary. Everything he did was for that purpose. He reminded his disciples time and time again, I have come to suffer and to die. I have come to give my life a ransom. I've come to pay sin's debt. He said it several times because that's why he was there. He even declared, no man takes my life. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I've got power to take it back up again. Nobody forced him to do it. At any time, the Bible declares, he could have called legions of angels to his side, and they could have rescued him from such a situation. But he did not call them. He willingly went the way of the cross. He chose it. He decided to die and take hold of it. It was his plan. It was his purpose that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly, he said. It was his desire that we be lifted out of the pits of sin and be resurrected unto a new life in Jesus Christ. And because of you, he died because of you. I'm thankful. I'm honored and I'm humbled. I don't deserve him. You don't deserve him. None of us deserve him. We're unholy, he's holy. We're unrighteous, he's righteous. There's no truth that dwells in our inner being, but truth is the very pillar upon which he came. We have nothing. We are nothing. Scripture declares that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He died in the hopes that we would receive it. There's only one thing in Scripture that Bible says that God has predestined. God does not predestine men to hell. He does not predestine the sins of humanity. But there is one thing he has predestined. He has predestined that all men come to repentance. He's predestined salvation for you. If you thought your salvation was somehow coaxed up or someone tricked you into serving God, you're absolutely wrong, because God had planned it before the foundations of the earth to redeem you out of the pits of hell and to save you from your sins. It was his plan, his objective to win you back. It was God's desire to have you. Jesus even said to his disciples as they sat there eating the food that day, he said, with desire, I have longed to be here with you. He was about to pay sin's penalty. I wrote a poem in regards to who's to blame. Let me read it to you. I nailed him to the tree, though Pilate would issue the decree. I did not hear the nails driven, but for my sin's remission, he was given. No, I nailed him to the tree, though the Jews demanded it to be. Crucify him, crucify him, they cried that day. So who is guilty, you might say? Is Barabbas, Judas, Pilate, or the Jews? No, I nailed him to the tree, and you are guilty along with me. His body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you. Not one man is guilty or to blame, but for sin's penalty, Jesus embraced the tree of shame. So if someone you wish to blame for the tree on which he hang, blame me. Blame me. For by his blood he cleared my name. Aren't you thankful for that? It was for you that he died. It was for you that he died. Why was he there? Was it just so he could glorify himself? No. It was so he could lift you up before the throne of God. It was so that you could be acceptable in the very sight of God, because God could no longer have fellowship with you and I. God could not come and speak with us, for we were unholy. We were unrighteous. We had nothing good in us. There's nothing good but God, the scripture teaches us. And so Jesus came, and by his substitutionary death, he became sin who knew no sin. He became the propitiation. He became the one that died for you and I nailed him there. You nailed him there. The reason he died is sitting here in this church this morning. It was for you that he died. It was for me that he died. And every human being that walks this earth, the blood was shed for them. Sin created such a great gulf between God and man. Man could not get to God, and God refused to come to man. There was no way that we could come to him. The law was created. The law was revealed. The justice of God said, this is how you walk. This is how you live. And the law was created for such a purpose, to show us that you and I can never attain such a righteous God, or that we could never get there. Paul said that the law is our schoolmaster, teaching us that we need Jesus Christ. If we don't have him, church, we are all hopelessly lost this morning. There's no other way but through the cross of Calvary that a man can be born again. Muhammad cannot get you there. Buddha cannot get you there. They did not shed their blood like my Lord shed his blood. And it's a mockery to put them on such a plane as this Savior, Jesus Christ. No man can get you there, but the Savior can get you there. The law of God said you could not come. The law of God said thou shalt not lie. And some of you might be good at that one, but are you lustful? Because the law says you can't lust. Do you covet? Because the law says you can't covet. See, the Bible teaches us that if we offend in one area of the law, we offend the whole law, and therefore become a transgressor of all of the law of God. The law of God teaches us this simple fact, that there is a great chasm between you and God, and the cross of Jesus Christ is the very bridge upon which we cross this chasm and come into fellowship with God. The writer of Hebrews said, now I can come boldly before the throne of God, now unto him who is able to present me faultless before his throne. The Bible tells us through Jesus Christ there is a bridge that we all can cross. But without that cross, without that blood, without the purity, without the truth, without the righteousness, without the holiness, without those things, we would never get in. Jesus took our sin and put on us his righteousness. He put on us his truth. He put on us his justification. He put on us his sanctification. He put on us his life. And that's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Why does he say this? He says this because Jesus is now living in Paul's stead. He's a living. But Paul gave up his life that Christ might live through him. A while back, when they were building the bridge that crosses over into Nevada from Highway 93, I was so struck by the bridge and how massive it was when they were building it, that I went and started researching what the engineers had to do to build that bridge. And the engineers had to take in three major factors to build that bridge. The first one, they had to consider the weight of the bridge itself. They had to say the bridge is going to weigh this much, so we need to build the bridge to sustain itself. Then they had to take in the load weight that would cross the bridge on a daily basis, the semis, the cars, the people. They had to take into consideration all those things when building the bridge. And then they had to take in a third consideration, which was the elements that could literally destroy the bridge, like rain or freezing temperatures or water or wind, any of those things. And we all know we got wind around here. They had to take in those three considerations when they built that bridge. And I want to tell you something, that the cross of Calvary takes in those three considerations. The weight that Jesus took upon himself created a bridge. God's bridge is supported by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not yours. God's bridge is supported by the holiness of Jesus Christ, not yours. God's bridge is supported by the truth and the justice of God, not yours. Because if we were looking at just you, there's nothing but filthy rags that would sit in front of us today, or in front of me today. There's nothing but filthy rags. But if we call upon Jesus Christ and we put on his righteousness and we put on his helmet of salvation and we carry his sword of the Spirit and our loins are girt about with his truth and our feet shod with the preparation of his gospel and we hold the shield of his faith, we can walk on this bridge. The bridge was created to support the very weight of God's demands. God demanded of, and his demands are a very heavy load that you and I could never attain to. You could never attain it. You could never do it. There are many men who have tried to cross the chasm of sin by the way of the law, and they failed, every single one of them. No man crossed it. No man was able to scale down the walls of this great chasm of sin and cross the valleys of sin and go and somehow attain to God by something they were able to do without the salvation work of the cross. No man has done it. No man will ever do it. The only one who was able to fulfill it all was God's very own Son. God's bridge can handle the weight of all sin. I've heard people tell me, when I go to church, the roof's going to cave in on me. I hate to break the news to you. The bridge that Jesus built is strong enough, not just for you, but for every sinner out there. One drop of that blood, when they whipped his back and the blood flowed, the sacrifice began. When they pierced his hands and the blood flowed, God was looking at forgiveness. One preacher declared, and I love what he said. He said, on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He says this because at that very moment, all of the sins of humanity were upon Christ himself. And no longer was God his Father, but he was just his God because he bore the sins of humanity. All sin, the weight of sin, can be carried by the cross. It can be handled. It doesn't matter what you've done. Some people have said, I've done too much. Why would God ever accept me? Listen, the God that paid so much to have you is not so easily willing to let you go. Even though the enemy will try to tell you that God doesn't want you anymore, God most certainly does. He paid a high price to have you. Nothing can knock this bridge down. No element of the enemy can destroy it. Nothing can stop the salvation of our God. Nothing can. The devil has at many times tried to destroy it. He was unsuccessful. Many times he tempted Christ and Christ refused sin. He was sinless. He never sinned one time. When he was a child, he would be classified in my eyes, in your eyes, a goody tissues, who did no wrong, who never sinned. Not one time. Not one time did he lie. Not one time did he cheat. Not one time did he covet. Not one time. Not one time did he look at a woman and say, I want her. Not one time did he lust. Not one time did he covet those things. No, he denied them all that he might have you. That he might have you. He gave his life. Sin cannot knock down this well-structured bridge. No element can take it down. Men have tried to destroy it. They tried to burn Bibles. Voltaire, back in the 1700s, he literally declared that in his lifetime, this Bible would become a relic and would be viewed only in museums under plate glass so you can see it. He declared that. When Voltaire died, they were using his home and his printing press to print Geneva Bibles. I think God made a clear statement. When Voltaire died, he said, there's no hope! There's no hope! There's no hope! Because he lived his life outside of God. There was nothing for him. He had to come to this cross. No man gets to God except by it. So who's guilty? Who's guilty of the blood and the body of Christ? I had you read it. You. You. I'm guilty. No, I don't look at it the way most guilty people would. There's joy in my heart. There's peace in my life. I find contentment in some of the weirdest things, in the weirdest places. I don't know how it happens. I don't know. I just know that by what He did for me, by what He did for me, how He paid my debt, even though I'm guilty, somehow I'm free. Even though I am guilty of every sin that you can imagine, by the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed. I have been redeemed. He did it for you. He did it for me. Pilate issued it. He said, crucify him. But that's not really who did it. Judas betrayed him. But that's not who did it. Barabbas was set free. But that's not the guilty party. The Jews, they commanded it, but they were not the ones. It was for every human being on this earth. Every sin that would ever be committed can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every sin. You can't knock it down. You can't get rid of it. It always will come back to it. And when people die, they always come back to that simple fact. Will I make it? Where do I go when I die? I know where I'm going. I have no doubt in my mind. Why? Because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my propitiation. I've accepted Him as the appeasement of my sins. God's justice in heaven demanded righteousness. It demanded that there be retribution paid. It demanded that the debt be paid. God's justice said it has to be done. And when they went and searched to see if there was someone who could do it, nobody could. Remember what the Bible said about in Revelation chapter 5? John said they looked everywhere for somebody who could break the seals of the book. You remember this in the scripture? And no one was found worthy on earth or in heaven to break the seals. And John began to weep bitterly. Why? Because nobody was there who could do it. You couldn't do it. Even if you went to the cross, even if you suffered those shameful things, even if you were beat by yourself, your blood would not be able to save you because you were tainted by the curse of sin throughout generation to generation. We all were. None of us could do it. Only Jesus was sinless. Only He was pure, and only God can do it. Unto us a Son is given, Unto us a child is born. Unto us. Unto us. You and me. I'm the reason. If you want to blame somebody, you point your finger at me. I'm thankful for that cross. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.